And welcome back to Real Clear with Dr. Klein, the crossroads of politics and psychology. If you would like to listen to ad-free episodes and have access to daily and weekly releases, essays, and other membership perks, and you also want to help in the production of this program, go to realclearpodcast.com and click subscribe. There are a lot of places in this world where you can put your money, and so I thank you for considering membership to realclearpodcast.com. I hope you enjoy this next episode. Good morning, everybody. Here is a concise rundown of the State of the Union address, the final SODU before the presidential election. This is going to be bifurcated into two realms, as I always do, form and content. In terms of form, I thought when the president was walking into the chamber that he looked like a demented old man. I thought this is cruel to have him coming in doing this. He had that nursing home look where he's surprised by everything and bewildered, and I thought this is going to be rough. And then he got up and started to speak, and he did okay for the first part of the speech. And then he started to decay, and he started to look like the Joe Biden that we tend to expect. And one of the things that he does when he starts to veer off track and lose composure and lose cohesion is he starts to yell. And so you notice in the first part of his speech, he was making some cogent points and was going along as best he could. And I thought, okay, this is much better than what I'm accustomed to. And then he started to decay and get that scowling old yelling mode. And the whole thing was like a political rally. The SODUs have been like that. We've lost composure. And he's got these yelling matches with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Lauren Boebert is there with her stupid Carhartt jacket. Come on, folks. Let's dress up a bit. It's the State of the Union. And I like Carhartt. I wear it fine. I'm a country guy. But let's dress up a little. Let's put a little sparkle on ourselves. So we have a ridiculous house. I thought that it was possible that the president and his party have tamed their side a bit because we didn't see the same kind of lunatics on the left matching the lunatics on the right. It's possible they're saying, hey, guys, we're heading into an election cycle. You've got to come across sane. Whereas somehow the Republicans just are not able to quell their side. We've got Marjorie Taylor Greene dressed like an unsuccessful OnlyFans actor. And we've got Lauren Boebert wanting us to believe that she's some sort of like cowpoke who's just wandered into the house. It's an absurd scene. Yeah, I even had George Santos there in the upper balcony. And the reason is because former members of Congress are allowed to attend the SODUs. And the camera loved him. And he sure does come across as loosely composed, and that's who attracts the camera for the Republican side, the fringe characters. And somehow the Democrats got a hold of their side. You didn't see the Ocasio-Cortezes or the Squad and the Rashida Tlaibs coming across as bizarre and ridiculous. So they may have said, hey guys, come on, look, take your Haldol. You can't come across like psychiatric patients anymore. But the Republicans didn't hand out their haloperidol. They didn't hand out their severe psych meds that night. And so we see this political rally mode come across the president and the people he was yelling back and forth with at the State of the Union. And this is a dissension of our politics, let's put it that way. As the night went on, he really did start to decay. He started to smush words together and have run-on sentences and say things that made no sense. Not as voluminous as his free press conferences, but certainly he started to show signs that he was coming apart. And that's what made me think that maybe he was on some sort of a stimulant. Adderall would be the culprit. And they know that these are such high stakes State of the Unions that the country is watching, and they're going to attract so much incisive snipping for YouTube videos that he cannot lose composure. I do think they probably give him a stimulant cocktail, and Adderall would be my guess as to what they provide him. And that may have had something to do with why he was late, which I can't think of another State of the Union where someone has been late. And it may have been something like he's not quite ready. The half-life hasn't kicked in on whatever he's on. Now, in terms of content, he led off with support for Ukraine and wants to make the Republicans seem like the people who are against world peace and so on and standing with your neighbors. Here again, former President Trump can't seem to avoid providing incredible gifts to his opponents. He did say at one point, if the NATO nations did not pay their fair share, their 2% of their GDP, that he would let President Putin just do whatever the hell he wants. He did say that. You'd have to be a maniac to say that politically. Of course, does President Trump actually mean that? No, he would not allow Putin to do whatever the hell he wants. But Trump says stuff like that. You can't say stuff like that as you're running for president and be taken seriously as a political figure by the key voting base. And who are they? Independents. The Democrats and the Republicans do not matter when it comes to these kinds of addresses. It is the opining to the independents who are most likely to weigh the matters and make some sort of rational decision. By the way, the black vote is tilting towards Trump. That's interesting. It's gone from 4% to 23%. That's very bad news for the Democrats. And interestingly enough, in the face of that kind of poll shift, I would have expected a more heavy-handed appeal to the black voters, but he didn't provide it. I wonder why. So let's move on. They also talked about women's reproductive rights, and here the Republicans just can't seem to avoid providing gifts politically to the Democrats. There was an IVF case law that came into being over the last month in Alabama, where it was momentarily the case that if you mishandled IVF and lost the eggs, you could be considered for a criminal prosecution. Completely insane. And the governor had to pass a bill in Alabama to protect IVF. And there are abortion problems in Texas where it's illegal and so on. And we've got stories of women who have to travel to other states to get abortions in cases where their life may be at risk from moving forward with a birth. Much was the case with a woman that they highlighted in the audience. Of course, they're going to capitalize on that. And what can I say? This is going to erode the amount of women's support that the Republicans can garner. It's stupid politics. And we had further discussion of the economy and infrastructure. It's not doing as bad as the GOP would like us to believe it is, but it certainly isn't doing as well as the Democrats would like us to believe. The idea that inflation is coming down is absolutely crazy. We have record inflation, and our inflationary measures do not even include the cost of fuel and food. That's why they're trying to say that we're recovering and doing really well. If you look at true measures of inflation, we are not. We have fossil fuels at record sky-high prices, which exacerbate the prices of every other thing in the nation. We're in big trouble there. But no, it's not some sort of cratered out economic problem like the GOP would like to make you think. We're not heading into the Book of Eli where you've got to squeeze banana peels into a DeLorean. Okay, then he goes on and wants to talk about crime. Now, there was one lie, okay? There were a few lies, and there was one notable lie. He says, crime is at a record low. That is absolutely insane, psychotic, political posturing. No, crime is not at a record low. In 2019, when there was a movement to demonize the police, crime skyrocketed to levels not seen since the 1960s. We have murder rates higher than any time in recorded history, I shouldn't say that, since the 1960s per capita, and then it decreased slightly in 2023. So you have this massive surge and then a slight decrease in comparison to the massive surge. That's what he's trying to say. Don't buy it. It's insane. This country is in real trouble in terms of crime. So there's one lie that you can suss out in the State of the Union, and that was it. Now, in terms of the border, this is bordering on lying, but it was just political posturing. He wants to make the Republicans seem like they are the obfuscators and the problem causers for the border, and he just wants to get tough on the border now. I'm not sure who's going to be fooled by that. He's let in at least 7 million who have had run-ins with the law at the border, and we have no idea how many people who have been let into the country who have had no run-ins with the Border Patrol. And this was obviously to birth new voters, no question. I think that there will probably not be another Republican candidate in two or three election cycles for the following reason. They have turned on the illegal immigrant faucet for people coming into the country. An enormous amount of those people are about to give birth. They actually come across for the purpose of having an anchor baby. And those people are going to grow up into Democrat voters. And the reason is simple. Because one party is going to say, we want to deport your parents. And another party is going to say, no, we want to keep your parents. Who do you think they're going to vote for? These newly minted voting American citizens are going to vote to keep their parents in the country. And so now they've imported a future voting base, and now Biden wants to make it seem as though the Republicans are the ones who are stopping a border deal from coming through. I just don't think this is going to land with anybody. Yes, they at this point, they do not want to somehow crack down on the border with him and make it seem as though everything's taken care of. Yes, that is true. They want to keep the border problem a problem in the final months of the presidential election cycle. That's understandable politically. And in a sense, it's understandable morally. As the Biden administration left the border wide open, why should they be allowed to come across like they are the solution in the final months of 2024? I think there's a moral case that can be made that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And the Republicans are taking a position there. Now, one thing that I think really does need to be highlighted here is that the Republican rebuttal was ridiculous. Katie Britt from Alabama was the most shrill, hysterical, worst impression of Jodie Foster I've ever heard. She came across just shaking like that. Everything was terrible. If everything is a crisis, nothing's a crisis. Choose your crisis sentences, Katie. What a ridiculous speaker. I have nothing against the woman. I don't know her. I don't follow her career. But what a terrible speaker. And she's giving it from her kitchen with the sinking back. Yeah, we get it. You're every mom. Got it. Didn't work. What a ridiculous presentation. Every sentence was some sort of shaky crisis. And she wanted us to know just how terrible everything was. If any of you can do a better Jodie Foster impression, I'm sure there are many who can, send me in an audio clip and I might air it. It was terrible. So the Republicans failed there miserably, and I don't think it swayed anybody. The only reason I was able to stumble through and keep that on is because I run this podcast and wanted to be able to talk to you about it. But as I think back, I could hardly really pay attention to any of the points she made. She was that bad at presentation. I don't know how the Republicans keep on screwing this up. Do you remember Marco Rubio, where he had to take a drink of water? he side-eyed the camera while he was doing it and then got dry mouth, cotton mouth. They keep doing this. You would have to, again, both the Democrats and the Republicans can't seem to not put up two men who could only lose to one another. All right? If you ran almost anybody against Joe Biden, they would win handily. And if you ran a sane Democrat, a reasonable person like Joe Manchin against Donald Trump, he would win handily. And so I don't know why we have this masochistic tendency to parade around the most crazed people, the most ineligible people of our parties, but that's where our politics seem to be. And by the way, the State of the Union was more like a circus last night. And our sodos have descended. They really have. You have Joe Biden walking in like a scared, confused dementia patient, at least the way he walked into the chamber. And then you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, who's confronting him. She looks like some unsuccessful OnlyFans model. And she's dressed in pink, a ridiculous t-shirt, and confronts the president. What a dissension of our politics. And then we have people screaming back and forth with the president. It's just absurd. The whole thing is ridiculous. We need statesmen again. We can't fall into this Jacksonian presentation where we believe that yelling back and forth is somehow a mark of authenticity. It's not. It's a mark of narcissism. Get over yourselves, compose yourselves, and go back to doing the people's business in your offices. It's a boring job if you're doing it right. I want people who are boring again. I like Joe Manchin. I like Mitt Romney. I like John McCain. I thought these people were great. They were great partly because we didn't see them showboating and peacocking out in front of everybody. All right, folks, let me know what you think. Go to realclearpodcast.com if you're a member and comment on the posts. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the State of the Union. Bye for now.